Revelation chapter 1, verse 5b through 6, but we're going to read from verse 4. This is reading of God's word. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of hearing your word. Let us hear the loving voice of our God through your word. Let us hear the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let our hearts be glad. O Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow and let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may, by imitating your Son, witness your Son as we live this glorious life in Jesus Christ. Receive all the glory, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. We come to verse 5b to verse 6. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. We have divided verses 4 through 8 into three sections. And we have looked at the first part, verse 4 through 5a, salutation. Then we come to this middle section, which we called a praise section. Just like many of the letters of Paul, the salutation or the greeting section is followed by praise. Those of you who study the book of Exodus with me will realize that the content of this praise might be called a summary of the book of Exodus. The Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt happened because God loved his people. Thus, God, who is I am that I am, called Moses, and through Moses, they were released from the bondage of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lambs. And what was the purpose of that Exodus? If we go to Exodus 19, verse 6, God said that he will save these people so that they shall be to God a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That was the purpose. The exodus from Egypt by the Israelites was pointing to the true exodus from sin and from this world and from Satan by God's people through and by Jesus Christ our Lord. John here is praising God who accomplished the true exodus of his people from sin and from this world. In chapter 11 of book of Revelation, chapter 11 verse 8, we see that Egypt is symbolically used to represent sinful world. The exodus of the Old Testament was a shadow of the true exodus. God's people are saved out of this world and sin and delivered into God's precious eternal kingdom of heaven. No longer you are saved from one place of this world to another place of this world. No, that you are saved out of this world and placed in another world. God's people are saved because God loves his people. God loves us, God who is and who was and who is to come. He loves us, and through the one whom Moses was a shadow, the true Messiah, the true mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, our Lord, released us from our sins, from the bondage of our sins, and this through his blood. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. And through his blood we are rescued from the domain of darkness, through precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, we are freed from the bondage of sin. We're freed from Satan. We're freed from this world, and we are made a kingdom priest for God, now and forever. That is the content of this praise. Well, let us look at it a little bit more in detail. To him who loves us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Very important that you understand that through Christ, God has demonstrated his love, but he loved you while you were yet sinners. It is easy for the world to understand if God, we say God loved us when we were good. No, God loved us while we were yet sinners. Chapter 8, verse 35, who will separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The answer that the Bible gives is nothing. Nothing in heaven, nothing in this world will separate us from the love of Christ. The point is that as you live your life here, there will be tribulation, there will be distress, there will be persecutions, there will be famine, nakedness, peril, sore. Yes, you might even die. But that is not the proof that God is not loving you anymore. Even those things cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Yeah, some people, when bad things happen in their life, they question, does God love us? Because they do not understand. Just like those Israelites in the Old Testament, is God with us or not? John chapter 13 verse 1. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Yes, God loves us. He loves us to the end. And there is no end. John 15 verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God loves you and me with this love. Jesus Christ died for us. He considers us his friends. And what does he say? To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father. Christ Jesus made us a kingdom priest to his God and Father. And how did he do that? Through his blood, it says. The Old Testament Israelites were saved from Egypt also by the blood of the Passover lambs. But here, the true salvation, salvation from sin, Satan, and this world, is also by the blood of our Passover lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this points to the fact that you and I are sinners. That is why he died. Not only the people who belong to the world, who persecute the church, are sinners, but you and I, we are also sinners. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. Verse chapter 3, verse 23, Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the last plague in the book of Exodus clearly showed this fact. Until the last plague, if you remember, Israelites and Egyptians, they were separated. So plague only came to place where Egyptians were, not to a place where Israelites were. But during the last plague, God clearly showed that it is not Egyptians who are bad and Israelites who are good. No, they're both sinners. It really doesn't matter whether you are Egyptians or Israelites. Unless you have that blood on your doorpost, there's death in your household. Whether you're Egyptians or whether you're Israelites, really didn't matter. So they need to understand, Israelites were not saved because they were good and Egyptians were bad. So many people think that way. And that's what you need to understand also. It's not because you are any better than those sinners who do not believe. But you are saved because God loves you. But our sins, yours and mine, have been cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference. Their sins remain. Your sins and mine have been cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He bore our sins upon the cross and paid in full our sins, for our sins, by dying on the cross for us. He died in our places. Let me read to you some verses from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. 17. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Let us go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 14. And I said to him, My Lord, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones. Who are these people? They are citizens of heaven who are wearing white robes. These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Do you see your picture here? In heaven, you wear white robe. Now, symbolical language. I don't know whether we're actually physically wearing white robes. You could tell it is symbolical language because if you wash in blood, it will be actually red. But it's white. The point is that that blood has cleansed these people's sins. Our salvation, brothers and sisters, the salvation that the Bible speaks of is not a political salvation. It is not an economical salvation. It's not about because of salvation now who you were poor in this world now become rich in this world. That is not the salvation that we're speaking of. Or even being freed from political oppression. That is not the salvation that Jesus brought. It is salvation from sin. We were sinners. Please do not forget this. But now, you wear white robe of heaven because it has been washed with Jesus' blood. That's why you are able to come to God even now and worship Him. Please, brothers and sisters, don't even think that by coming here you're doing some favor to God. This is God's blessing, privilege. You know, there are some people who think that way. Coming to church and serving in the church they're doing some favor to God. We cannot approach God as sinners. And yet, we are able. Because of Christ. That's why even as we worship our God, we're so happy. And I want you to see how you are wearing this white robe even now. That you are washed with His blood. you're clean in the sight of God. In Jesus Christ, we are indeed freed from sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 18 says this, "And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Understand this, brothers and sisters, there is no middle ground. Non-believers, they believe that they don't belong to God, but at the same time, they do not belong to Satan. But there is no middle ground. Bible doesn't allow it. If you are not slaves to God, then you are slaves to Satan. So if you are free from sin, then you become slaves to righteousness. Romans 6 verse 20 says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life." And Romans 6 verse 11 says, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Do you understand, brothers and sisters, what it means to be cleansed with His blood? That you are freed from sin. Now you are enslaved to God. Now, non-believers, this kind of language that I am a slave to God, enslaved to God, they don't like it. But there's nothing better for us. Yes, it is our greatest pleasure to be slaves to God. And once you understand that that is who you are, that you are slaves to righteousness, then you have no option. You must live that righteous life unless you are not. You cannot lax in this. As you live your life, your focus has to be on this. You must understand who you are, what Christ has done for you. This, you know, we're reading what Christ has done for us. He has released us from sin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been saved from sin, freed from sin, and you and I have been brought to our God in Jesus Christ. So you are freed, it says. You are freed, released from our sins, and that by blood, by His blood, so that, what? That He has made us to be a kingdom priests to His God and Father. Now, you have been saved, and that's what you claim. That's your confession. But understand, if you are saved, then there's purpose why you have been saved. You have been saved to be certain kind of people. You have been saved to be the priests of God. He has made us to be a kingdom priest to His God and Father. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Do you hear that? That He has saved you out of sin and this world, and He has made you a holy nation, a royal priesthood. priesthood. Royal meaning kings. You're kings and you're priests of God. A royal priesthood of God. This is who you are. And you must understand this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. Here again we see that we are a kingdom and priests to our God, and will reign upon the earth, royal priesthood of God. Go to Revelation chapter 7. There is a picture of us in heaven. Let us look at it. Look at this picture, your picture in heaven, chapter 7. We read verse 14, right? Let's begin from there. "I said to him, 'My Lord, you know,' and he said to me, 'These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, you guys, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.' For this reason..." What do they do in heaven? "They are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple." They serve God in His temple day and night. Now, who works in the temple? If we were talking in terms of the Old Testament, who serves God in the temple? Priest. This is your heavenly picture. And frankly, if you do not want to, if you don't like to serve God in His temple forever, then why do you want to go to heaven? Nobody's forcing you to be Christian. We want to be Christian. We are Christian. When I say we want to be, I'm not saying, you know, not that. But that we want to be Christian. It is our pleasure to be Christian. It is our pleasure to serve our God day and night. Meaning what? Every single moment. Day and night. It's not part-time job. It's not just you work day and you go home at night. No, day and night in the temple. Serve our God. This is who we are in heaven. And if this doesn't give you pleasure, "Day and night they serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them." Tabernacle over them. Again, not just picture of temple, but picture of tabernacle. But who works in the tabernacle? Who works in the temple? It is priests. And this is your heavenly picture. We are God's priests serving and sacrificing, in today's terms, worshiping God forever and ever. That is who we are. The Old Testament Exodus was a shadow of the real thing that is now accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of God are now completely fulfilled in Christ. Isaiah 61 verse 6a says, "But you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God." And this is who you are. Christ has released us from sin through His blood so that we may be priests, royal priesthood of God. that promise in Isaiah that we will be called priests, we will be called ministers of God, that promise of God is now fulfilled. Read the content of John's praise. Jesus has made us, already made us, to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father. Yes, it is already accomplished. You and I are a royal priesthood of God now and forever. Yes, you and I are faithful witnesses who witnesses the truth. This points to the fact that we are God's prophets in Jesus Christ. We saw that last time. And we are priests of God, and we are royal priesthood. We are kings of God. We are prophets of God. We are priests of God. We are kings of God. Prophet, priest, king. In Jesus Christ, who is the true priest, true prophet, and true king. Yes, we are a kingdom priest. But notice that we are priests, not just priests, but priests to God. We serve God. To serve God and to worship God, that is our purpose. Forever purpose. That is the purpose of Christians. And if you don't have this understanding, you're going to truly suffer. Not suffering in a good sense, but you're going to truly suffer. Because you will not have the joy that is intended for Christians. It is to serve and it is to worship our God. The chief end of man is to glorify our God and to enjoy Him now and forever. That is the purpose of a priest. To serve God and worship God in Old Testament terms, to offer up sacrifices to God. In the book of Exodus, chapters 28 and 29, we see the ordination of the priests. How are they ordained to be the priests of God? Among other things, the blood of animals is sprinkled on them. Do you see that you also have been ordained as the priests of God? Do you understand this? The blood of Jesus Christ our Lord is sprinkled on you to ordain you as a priest of God. Do you see your heavenly reality? God has raised you up as the priest of God, even as you worship and serve God right now. You are doing so as the priests of God. Do you understand what you're doing right now? Now, some of you say, oh, I'm sleeping. No. If you truly understand what you're doing here, this will be the most happiest place for you. Understand where you have come and what you're doing as you worship God. This is your eternal job. You're God's priest. All other jobs that you might have in this world are secondary. It's part-time. And even that for a short period of time. But your full-time, eternal job is serving and worshiping God as his priest. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Entering the holy place. Who could enter the holy place? Priest. By a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. In the Old Testament, only one person, and that only once a year, could go beyond the veil. But look at what Christ has done and accomplished. Now you and I have confidence now to enter beyond the veil, the Holy of Holies, to serve and to worship our God as his priest. Look at what God has accomplished for us. In the Old Testament, this picture right here is utterly impossible. Because not all God's people can come into Holy of Holies. Only one. Once a year. But look at what it is available for us. Does that make you happy? That you are able to come into the Holy of Holies to serve and worship your God? That you have become his priest. Do you see where you have come? You have come into the Holy of Holies in the true temple of God as the priest of God. But there's more. We are the temple of God. We are the Holy of Holies of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As the priest of God, you are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Just like the Old Testament priests, you and I are also offering to our God sacrifices, you and your life as a sacrifice. Of course, the ultimate sacrifice, once and for all sacrifice, is done by Jesus Christ. We're not talking about for our sins we have to again sacrifice anything more. No, that is not what we're saying. But now, understand as a priest of God, now your life is a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Your spiritual service of worship. Even as you live your life every single day, you live that life as priest of God. Brothers and sisters, this is amazing grace. I pray that this will make you happy. That there's nothing else that you want to do. Then fulfill your eternal purpose to serve and worship your God. Do you worry about what's going to come tomorrow? your jobs, your studies, your business, your relationship? Do you forget who you are in Christ? That what is your center? It's not your studies. It's not your job. It's not your relationship. The center of your life is God. It's to serve God, to worship God. And if you forget this, I don't care what you are doing out there in the world, if you forget this, then you forget who you are. You forget what Christ has done for you. Philippians 2:17, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Paul describes his life in terms of the Old Testament sacrifice. Paul describes his whole life as a drink offering. Just being poured out, everything being poured out to God. And this is what we bring to God, drink offering. Pouring out our life to them, to Him, to God. This is how we live. Our life is offered up in full to our God and praised the sacrifice and service of our faith. John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." Do you work, do the work of God by believing and trusting Jesus Christ our Lord? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise of God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Do you understand that is exactly what you're doing right now? All this is to say that you and I must live a life that clearly witnesses. Clearly, life that clearly witnesses that we are indeed the royal priesthood of God. Because that is what He has made us to be. That's what we read in the Bible. Whatever you do in this life, you must do them in terms of your service to God as His priest. And brothers and sisters, I beg of you that you do this. That whatever that you do out there, that you will do that in terms of your service to God. That God will be focused. Not anything else. And where and when can we witness most clearly that we are indeed God's priests? It's worship right now. I want you to understand that you have come into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And we are together as priests of God. We're serving and we're worshiping our God. This is what this worship is all about. That we praise Him. We give Him all the glory and honor and thanksgiving. See your heavenly reality. Where else are you going to see this heavenly reality other than the church? Where else do God's people gather to worship? Where else? This is where you want to be. Because this, only here, when I say only here, don't think, you know, this building or just Christ in heaven. When I say here, in heaven, see, church, only here you perfectly fulfill the purpose that God has for you, to be His priest. But even as you live your life out there, you live in terms of your eternal identity. You have been released, brothers and sisters, from your sins. You have been released from Satan. You have been released from this world through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now you serve God and you worship God as His royal priesthood. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? As we worship God right now, we are witnessing who we are in Jesus Christ. We are serving and worshiping our God as His priests. Let us offer up our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. Let us offer up our lives as a drink offering. Let us believe and trust our Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice and service of our faith, let us offer up a sacrifices of praise to God, the fruit of lips that gives thanks to His name. To our God, who alone has accomplished all this for you and for me, to Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Don't you see it? Paul, even as he thinks about these things, I said this Friday too, he cannot help but to praise God. He cannot help but to open his mouth and to Him, be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Daniel chapter 7 verse 14, and to Him was given dominion. The Son of Man, to Him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. This is your eternal identity in Jesus Christ. Please, brothers and sisters, understand who you are and live your life accordingly. I have no problem, even if I become your enemy, I have no problem telling you the truth. You might not want to hear because you might be enjoying the world too much right now, or that you have some other purposes. But the truth says that you are God's priest and your life is all about serving and worshiping God. And this should give us so much joy that God's eternal plan, eternal purpose in His people is now accomplished perfectly in Christ. Let us understand this. Let us understand not that I only am a priest of God, but that you are also, we are all together as a priest of God. And let us encourage one another. If you do not see your brother or sister not living as a priest of God, then encourage them to change. And by encouraging them to change and they make you their enemies, that's fine. They might not want to hear it from you, but this is what we're called to do. Devote ourselves to God. As a drink offering, pour out your life to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have released us from sin through the blood, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you have made us a holy nation, kingdom priests, royal priesthood. Oh Father, let every one of us here understand and believe who we have become in Jesus Christ. And let us live our lives in accordance with what kind of people that Jesus has made us to be. Let us give ourselves, pour out ourselves as a drink offering to you, pleasing sacrifice. Oh Father, let us always understand that we are in the Holy of Holies, serving and worshiping our God. Oh Father, we like it here. We do not want to leave. We love it here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.